Sunday school this morning, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. How many of y'all excited to be here today? I am too. I'm so excited. I'm nervous again. Old brother in Atlanta told me, he said, if you're not nervous, be careful. Might get too comfortable. I'm plenty nervous today. I got one for you guys. I like to open up with icebreakers. They're usually for me, not for you. But here it goes. It goes along with my lesson. I have two friends. This is a true story. It may sound like a joke coming out, but it's genuinely a true story. One is in Atlanta. Most of you may know, if you follow the news, that Atlanta's one of the largest hubs for children sex trafficking in America. And he has often campaigned against it. And I don't want to mispronounce names because of my poor English. But it's in Europe, Bulgaria, Turkey, and all. That's where the area in the world where he taught me the prettiest people of the world come from. Just in case you want to know where they come from in that area. And they take the orphan children, and of course, not to go along and wear it out, but they take the babies and they turn them into sex traffickers and bring them to Atlanta. We have another brother that I met when I first got the Holy Ghost in Canada, who has done real well in the ministry up there. And he flew down to Atlanta, and these guys go off to Europe. And while they're in Europe, they get a chance to meet these people who are fighting against this cause in their country. And on the way out, they had been there for days and said, man, I'm ready to eat something we know. I'm tired of eating all this stuff. You know, we don't know this. So they look around, and there's a pizza place at the airport. And the airport is not like Tampa International, by the way. It's a real rural airport. And it's like a little line of the pizza place. And it's this long line going to this hut shop type place. And the guy from Canada said, man, let's get in that long line. Look at those happy faces. Look at those people. They're eating it as quick as they can get it, the fast food service. We're going to have to go in there. We can get pizza at home anyway. The pizza's probably better at home anyhow. And my buddy from Atlanta, the guy from America, says, no, man, I'm not risking this today. We're about to go home. We're not doing that. I'm not doing that. So the Canadian guy's, well, I want to. So he goes off and stands in line with him, and he meets some people eating these wraps, Pastor. Enjoyed it, real rough Bulgarian-ish, Hungarian-sounding accent, and they're starting to talk and about clothes and presidents and politics and just things. And as they're moving through the line, the Canadian guy was getting really excited. He's almost at the window. He kind of backed off, and my buddy stayed and talked with the locals. The Canadian guy comes back, chewing on this wrap. Man, this is good. This is real good. And my buddy's looking at the Bulgarian guy, and he goes, and they're looking at the same sandwich, and he's not about to try it, by the way. He's not getting into it. And the Bulgarian guy looks at my buddies from Canada, and he says, you like Duke? And the American guy, the guy from Atlanta, heard something in that broken accent, and the Canadian guy goes, oh, man, I love Duck. Duck is awesome. And my buddy said, it means you like Duck. Duck, that's duck, quack, quack. And the Bulgarian goes, God goes, no, duck, roof, roof. And he was right in the middle of a stroke with a sandwich. He couldn't find a place quick enough to get rid of the roof, roof. So today, now that I have your attention, let's be mindful what we hear. And if we have any questions, let's ask, quack, quack, or roof, roof. Because some of us don't do roof, roof in here. Okay, I titled actually today, I told Sister Jessica, this has been a long time. Those of you that got to hear me Wednesday, I told you I had something that's been with me for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I don't know how to put it together. And it's so big within me, and I want to get 40 minutes to put it in you. I'm going to stay on the principles. Is that okay? Is that enough scripture? You would not pay attention to me from reading it all. So we're going to stay on principles. And my title is Remind Me Again. If you could remember that, Remind Me Again. In Sunday school, it's always a good thing to repeat. Sister Alice and I were just talking just this morning that I've had the opportunity to teach other classes besides you guys. And sometimes the number of the participants weren't as high as this. Anybody ever got a chance to participate in such? And you got there and there was a whole three people. And it was supposed to be 33 people. Well, that happens in ministry. And I told Sister Esther, what I believe that is those three people probably need to hear it twice. So of all the people that are not here today that could be here today, you may hear this again in some form or fashion, but you get to hear it once from me. Brother Chris was sharing with me a few Wednesday nights ago, pastor had just politely told the congregation, it'd be a wonderful thing not to miss church. Because some of the phone calls and some of the conversation that he has to have with us, if we would just come to church, you would hear something you need to hear for free. No, then nothing's free. Ooh, nothing's free. You had to pay dues to get here today. Somebody had to get up. Somebody had to put gas. Somebody had to spend water, lights, breakfast, the whole nine yards. Nothing's truly free, but it's just free. Remind me again how to balance my life of living for God. It's a natural thing for us to focus on what we do well and what we do good and what we get accolades for. Yay! You do that so well. We're grown adult class and we're really just like babies again. You remember when babies, when you say, oh, you do that so good, and they go, again! Again! Till you wore out. Okay, we're going to teach you something new. This is getting old now. We're the same way when we're adults. We just have so much else going on. We don't realize that we tend to focus on what we do well. Can you say amen? Please lighten up just a little bit. It's going to be a hard enough class as it is. You don't look at me like that. I need your support. Because what we don't do well gets us in trouble all the time. Not always instantly, but if we're not doing what we're supposed to do to keep a balance, it will catch up. And as adults, if it doesn't catch us in this lifetime, we may leave it for our family once we go on into the next life. Remind me again. Amen. Principles we want to throw out there. Three things to keep in balance. Top three that I was taught, that I believe most of you believe. Number one, we must always put God first. Number one, God first. Didn't say church. Said God. Because some of us forget that we do have different lifestyles. Most of us do remember that. Most of us remember, oh, Brother Keith, you serve God that way because that's how you are. I need to serve God my way because that's how I am. Well, that's true as human beings, but that's not true scripturally. We're all going to serve God one way because there's one God and he has one way for us to serve him. When we get away from that way, we're going to get in trouble. Number two, family. I'll share this with later. Number two, family. I'll leave it in there. I was going to plug it in here, but it doesn't feel good. Number two, family. This teaching, this principle, I got the Holy Ghost when I was single. Those of you that are in college and career and here today, thank you for being here. Please remember, I was your age when I got the Holy Ghost. I did not go to a church where I had family members. And I had to serve my family. I had to serve my church family, of course, but I still had to serve my family. My mom had the Holy Ghost. My baby brother had the Holy Ghost. My sister almost had the Holy Ghost, and my daddy was not about to get the Holy Ghost. Sounds familiar? Some of you are experiencing it now in the sound of my voice. I am a first-generation saint, but my family came first. A lot of times, because I would quickly forget God. As being the first generation, I don't know why, who, how, and what, but I'd always have to put God back first, family second. Third would be my ministry. In adult class, we are all ministers here. Nobody's excluded from ministry. Brother Keith, what? I am teaching today. Somebody else in the congregation could be teaching today also. Hopefully today you taught at home. Hopefully this week you taught at the job. You get me? Hopefully this week when you had the grandbaby at home, you were teaching them truth. Not just ABCs, but truth and doctrines. Amen? Okay, we're all ministers. Some of us like to do outreach programs. Some of us like to go and minister away from here. Is that okay? That is up for sure okay. Some of us has ministries within the church. Some of you in the sound of my voice should probably be teaching class right now, and you're in here. But Brother Keith, Amen? Amen. Not being mean, but just being practical. Because what we all are reminded to do, it's our responsibility to teach apostolic people the apostolic ways. There is something I would like to share with you, that there's a force all the time going on. And I'm not going to be mystical or Eastern such or yin-yang, whatever all that stuff is. But something's pulling on us all the time. Amen? If you got a wallet, you feel it? You hold your purse real tight. You feel it? If you're electronic, hold your phone. You'll feel it wanting to pull. Somebody's always after your time. Somebody's always after your money. Somebody's always wanting you to do things their way and not the apostolic way. Just think about it. Slow down enough in class today. Think about it. When you go back home, what is the apostolic way? God first, family second, ministry third. There's things that we're going to incorporate in life that do not blend well with the apostolic way. The born-again Christian way, the Pentecostal way. Things can be a little difficult when it comes down to these three, but these three all have one thing in common, and that is money. There's a saying in church that, oh, Jesus paid the price. Well, he paid the price for your salvation. You got to pay for everything else. Just in case you didn't know, remind me again, Brother Keith, you have to pay for everything else. The price he paid on Calvary was for our salvation. Amen? Stay with me. I like to use the word money because I'm a plain person. In the church world, it was called stewardship. And that was softer. So if I say stewardship, I mean money. If I say money and you don't like to be plain, it's stewardship. Okay? But in your purse, in your phone, in your wallet is a common denominator of all three. And if we're not balancing that common denominator, it could be a big deal to be a manager, to the stewardship, to be a manager of your finances. I was just sharing just a minute ago how long this could be. To go to how many of you have been to a budgeting class or a financial seminar of some sort before? I was able to get a guy that did Crown Ministries to come to the old church for no cost. Wasn't free. Pastor took care of him anyway, but he didn't charge us. And of the people that I knew at the time, his goal was to live on 10% and give 90. His name was Steve Kohlberg, those of you guys that remembered him. His goal was to live on 10% and give 90. That's impossible. No, it's not. I've seen it. Seen it through him. I seen it share with me things in his life that, like, whoa, blew me away. Because he was taught that way and he was trained that way. It's not how you are, it's what you know. Apples don't fall far from the trees, right? So if your mom and dad didn't teach you, you don't know. No other way but mom and dad's way. If you come from other denominations, I come out of the Roman Catholic Church. We were giving as babies just like we give our babies here, but we were taught. Hence, Baptist people and Catholic people, you don't have to wear them out when it comes time for offering because they were taught since little. Since I've been in apostolic church, everybody likes to give $1 bills. One way to God. My pastor was teaching and preaching in Atlanta. He was a tent evangelist when he was a young man, and he had one person that took a dollar bill and tied it in a knot and put it in the basket every night under the tent. He said, please do not give me another dollar bill tied in a knot. You're under the sound of my voice. You've been coming to the tent meeting every night. Keep that dollar if you got to tie it in a knot. We don't owe God any money at all. Everything belongs to him. We owe us money. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our tithe and offering. He doesn't need us to give. The friend from Atlanta, he's a giving man. He came down and visited us in the summertime. And I drove by a hobo under the bridge. And it broke his little heart. Aren't you going to give that man some money? How many of y'all from South Florida? Central Florida? How many of y'all see that man on a regular basis? That woman on a regular basis? So I looked at him. I said, why do you think I need to stop and give him money? Oh, brother, every time I see that person like that with that Will Work for Food sign, I imagine it's an angel and unaware. I said, well, you need to come down here in the wintertime. You will think you are in heaven with all the angels we have in Lakeland in the wintertime. They are everywhere. Amen? Takes money to do that. Let's stay on the principles. God. There is monies in giving tithes and offerings. I'm not going to abstain on principle level. Can I stay by 30,000 feet? Because I don't want to run out of time. The principles that we preach and teach, tithes and giving and offerings. Principle. The law required 10%. We were taught in the New Testament to live above the law. So give above the law and you'll be okay. Remember that? Live above the law, give above the law. You'll go a long way with that principle. Here at Grace Point, 10% plus 5 is what we like to teach. Just in case you didn't know in your first and you knew in here. 15%. Impossible, Brother Keith. Not impossible. Sometimes it's a pill to swallow. I remember getting the Holy Ghost and just be wanting to give everything I had. Just like the book of Acts said, I want to give everything away. I didn't have any money. I had two sources of incomes at the time. Some of you know about one source. Some of you don't know about the other source. I was an engineer for one source, and I was not a nice person for the other source. When I got the Holy Ghost, I lost a whole source of income. Had no idea how to make it on one source of income. I hadn't lived like that ever in my life. Was taught by the elder of the church. He said, hey, this is what we're going to do. You're so stubborn. You give an offering, sat down with a paper and pencil, this amount of money minimum. And in 6 months from now, if you're not blessed, I'm going to give it back to you. 6 months later, I got a 14% raise on my number one job. 14%. Anymore, 2 or 3% is a lot. If you're working now, it's to offset the cost of living. That's all we get now. Big time jobs, when I was a person seeking education to break through the boundaries of poverty because I was raised in a two-bedroom house, I thought education was going to get me there. It didn't get me a whole lot too fast. How about some of y'all still paying student loans off out there? Please remember two classes. I got college and career here now. When I was taught to give, 6 months later, and like something to wipe, and he sat me down again and said, do you see now? We've had many testimonies, and I won't get into all of them. One of my most favorite was a young lady whose name is Sarah Berridge. Now it's Sarah Preston. She came to our church as a young lady. She was 12, 13 years old. And told her mom and her daddy, this is the truth, this is the church, and we need to come here. They were from Texas. Her mom, Cindy Berridge, testified, I'll never forget it. She had begun to give, like Pastor and I and other ministers taught scripture, and she'd read and study for herself. And she said in a year's time alone, the difference of her medical bills, just the medical bills, offset the giving. It works like that, people. How can you put a finger on it? You can't. It's the whole principle of it all. Because you want to give because giving is the right thing to do. In the discussion, it's right. It's not wrong to give. We don't go to church with a pastor who rapes the sheep. Just in case you're no wondering if you're new here. Because I wouldn't be here either. Like you just, oh boy, I don't want to wear our money. Look at our building. Look what we do. Look what we support. We support missionaries here. The monies that we bring in here are to take care of us too. Whenever you need anything, you go to see Pastor. Come see. Pastor and I got together years ago. I said, Pastor, I want to start my ministry. I want to have my own account for when young people come to me with the, I can't go. Look, that's not fair. This is church. In the world, it's bad enough they can't have and they can't do. We don't need to burden babies like that in the church. Everybody should go to a holiday youth convention. Remember them days, Sister Michelle? Everybody should go. It's the right thing to do. Thank God for those of you in this class that still support internally the young people so they don't have to come to church and go, I can't go. I can't do. It would do good for some of you in this class to get in your car, follow Brother David to one of the youth activities and sit in it. And see where your money goes. See what's really happening at Pentecost. Those that were able to go to the largest event in America, man, that's something I'd want to give to. I didn't get to go this time. But I gave, so I went. My anointed money left from Lakeland and went all the way to the other side of the country and back. Because it costs money to bless others when you're serving God. There's others. Missionaries that come here, evangelists come here, virtuous giving, something that we often forget about when you know a need in the church. How many of you would like to come up here and share your poverty-stricken need in front of everybody? Nobody likes doing that. Who wants to come to church? I got the Holy Ghost. Here's my will work for food sign. Stand in front of the building. It's church. You should have money in your pocket. In your phone, on your car, to know when someone is hurting in the congregation, then pastor don't have to come up here and embarrass them and help them out. Is that okay? There's scripture for in the book of Acts. They all sold and they were even. Nobody was left without. Coming to church is not about the church person that has the most money needs to take care of the rest of us. We should all do our part. And if we all did our part, like I said the Wednesday, if everybody gave equally, we wouldn't hardly have any needs in this whole congregation. Number one, because God would be blessing you. Number two, you would have a flow of money through here. Number three, when people would come here, internal missionaries and evangelists, we should be able to take care of them. Who wants to go to the othermost parts of the world and preach the gospel in here? Raise your hand. Me either. I give the first 100 not to. How about you? Gabby came back from Haiti and told me the size of the mosquitoes and told me when she had to use the bathroom in the bushes with the chickens peeping at her. Baby daddy, I'll give you another 100 again. How was the air conditioning? It only came on at night for a little while. That's a beautiful sight. Not for me. Not for you. It takes us to balance our money to have us. How many of y'all like to dress up a nice kid every once in a while? I've been in kids' ministry all my ministry. I like to see parents and adults and grown people look well, too. But how many of y'all are burdened when you see a young one? It's not their fault. You know what I mean? How would you like to put some clothes on the little kid, bring the little kid, get a burger after church? If you haven't had that kind of outreach yet, it's American outreach, I know. Overseas, they do different things, but in our own country, there's little kids around you that are without. They're without a lot, as a matter of fact, because they don't have the Holy Ghost. They're without salvation. That kind of money do you have? Can you go pick up some kids in the neighborhood and take them somewhere or provide them home and treat them apostolic? You have to budget to have that kind of contingency money. I would like to also think when we're serving God that we have the money amongst ourselves when we do have crisis needs that we can stand up as apostolic people and help. I personally am going to help us first. I don't want to sound like I don't want to help the world, but the world can help its own. I pay my taxes. There's programs out there. There's people that don't get up and go to work like me that make it. Their phone is nicer than mine. Their cars are nicer than mine. Let me get off my soapbox before y'all make me sit down. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. They don't even get up. They stay up all night long. I went to the grocery store. I hate going to the grocery store because I have been in total shock since I've been married. The cost of food. I am 50-something years old now. I remember when it would cost too much to eat for a dollar or two. Y'all remember them days? Give up $2 to go have somebody make you something to eat? How many of y'all remember when burgers were like under 50 cents? Right? Okay. $7 to go to McDonald's? No. Times six? Oh, no. Oh, no. No, 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 no. And now you go stand in line and there's a mob of people in front of you and they whip out this magic card that we bought them. Y'all need to go shopping. It makes me sick. They can take care of their own, but I do believe Pentecostal, apostolic, Holy Ghost filled people are to have enough money in the event it's your turn to step up and represent to take care of somebody. I'm off my soapbox. Thank God. Nobody left the building. Number two, your family. Say amen on money, family. Amen. Daddy, we want to go. Mama, we got to have. Did anybody go check on the elderly people they need? Where's grandma? How's grandpa? Most of you guys have been in church, so it's real easy to keep your money in the family. I'm first generation. I was really, really perplexed when I used to go, give the money to God. My cousin needs to get out of jail. That's first generation crises. How many of y'all seen y'all's money turn into a 12-pack real quick right before your eyes? Like, whoa, where'd that come from? Ice chest and all. You supporting the cause. You didn't even know where your money went. But it's my cousin. Ah, tricky, isn't it? Tricky, isn't it? Don't let your family abuse you, whether in church or out. Please, money first. Tithes and offering first. God first. Church needs first. Worldly family members, Brother Keith, that's my only brother and sister. Be careful. Because you might find your money dancing. Hey. Wait a minute. You were broke yesterday. Oh, they had a party. They had to go, man. You know how it is. Meanwhile, there's some missionary work going on in the United Pentecostal Church that could have did a whole lot with that $100. Don't worry, you're broke. Let me stop. Don't worry, your family members that are not living for God can fend for themselves. That sound good? They've been fending without you. They can fend with you. But at the same time, we need to be an example. It's a fine line. Principles. Please remember that. Family can be deep. It's bad enough providing clothes and light bills and gas bills and automobile insurance and a car and all that other stuff. Live in your range, live in your means, do your budget, don't break your budget. Don't have us panhandling for offerings. Wouldn't it look like something we have, and I love our building, please, when I'm using this just as an example. If y'all notice, our building is made of metal. What would it look like if we all had Bentleys pulling up to a metal building? Something wrong there, huh? Especially if all the Bentleys were paid for. And we had no outreach money going to save the lost. It's possible. But probably not. We got the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all were guilty giving money before? You felt the Holy Ghost. Whoa, don't do that. But can we wait. How many of you felt that you should have gave and you didn't give? I missed my opportunity. That minister was so great. Now he has to fly off to that third world nation and live over a hut. I remember this guy came. His house was off the water. Sister Michelle, was that Gordon? Yeah. Man, I didn't want none of that. Y'all remember that guy came to the other church? He showed a picture of his house. It was on stilts in the jungle. Whoo! $1,000, give that man. I'm going to go. I don't want none of that. Easy $1,000 on that one. How much more you need to send you back, brother? Be right back. Go work a little bit more. Because I can adjust my budget. There are people that budget for their family, and every dollar they make has a name because they budget so tight. I studied a budget plan like that so much when I went to talk to a guy about my 401k plan at work. He told me, I understand your beliefs. He was real gentle with me and professional. He said, but at the end of the day, you ain't going to have no family left if you keep managing your money like that. Tip, we could, you know, give them a whole lot and not give them enough. Always finding a bat. And that man, they don't even know how to spell apostolic. And God used that man to tell me, watch what you're doing with your money. So I always thought it was a great thing to keep the church going, but God don't need my money. God needs our money. We ought to all do our part. Amen? Okay. Needs for your family. Singles don't be exempted in this one, but we all have to take care of family. If you're single in the divorce right now, you have somebody in this church you could be taking care of besides yourself. It is not a bad thing to have money. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not the money. Right? Bullets don't kill people. People kill people. All those cliches that the guns in it, it's the you firing your own life every day. When you get up and you, I met a lady just this week. She's in her 30s. She could not believe that it's possible to buy a house with cash. I'm like, what did the millennials do? What happened to it? Who did what? Anything that you think for your family that is designed by somebody outside of you is trying to take your money. Anything out of the household that's designed besides what your budget says is trying to get your money all the time. Advertisement. How many of y'all like advertisement? I personally like advertisement. I get a kick out of watching advertisement. You could skip the program. Let me go to the next commercial. I just don't want to see the same commercial over and over again, but I love to watch how people cast out and set the hook in you. Right now, special offer. Ooh, got your attention. That credit card is all we need. Dial. Send. As you've been taught, for me and others, credit cards are designed to help you spend at least 8% more money than you would if you had cash. Remember that. It's good to have a credit card, Brother Keith, and pay it off all the time. Yes, but when you mess up and get in a hole, that hole is deep. If you're not watching how much you're spending and you're busting your budget, you can maintain. First note you miss and you have a lot of debt out there, you fall hard. I've done that. I've been there, done that. I've been taught not to do that again. I got a credit card before I got out of college. I didn't even have money. I didn't even have a job, and he sent me a credit card. You know what that felt like? American Express. They believe in me. I'll show them. And I did. It took years to get out away from American Express. I leave home without it now. Ministry. You have your own ministry. Support yourself. Biggest tip, biggest principle I'm going to give to you today, support yourself. You want to do something for God? Start with yourself. Support yourself. Put it in your budget. Even if you're teaching the babies and you need animal crackers, you need an animal cracker budget contingency plan. Nobody wants you to come teach me without no animal crackers. You're going to have the worst Sunday school class if you forget them animal crackers. Don't come in broke teaching Sunday school. All the way up to teaching some seminars. Who wants to follow a broke man or a broke woman? What are they going to show you? How to be broke? Spot all, and or how to cheat people. People that are established and solid and have been banking in the kingdom of God, the apostolic way, you need to be reminded. That's you. That's your ministry. You should take care of your ministry, whatever it is. I just recently was with someone that wants to support a family for the holidays. I think that's a beautiful thing. You go support them. Don't ask me to give you no money. That's your ministry. That's your grander. Y'all with me on this? I know we do have ministry in the church, but I'm talking about abroad in our class. If you have a heart's desire to go take care of somebody, Don't come desire me to give you money. That's not my desire. It's your desire. You with the principle? I might lend you, oh, let me bless you. Here's 20. But it's your desire. You go make your money. You go manage your time. You go find that money and you go bless them people. And then God will bless you. Pastor and I have talked many times over, and I'm going to say it in church real loud and clear. Sometimes people like to wear the church people out. Giving. I've been to some churches where it's just, oh, my.